How I love your word, how it lights my path, how it guides my way.
Father, we want to thank you for Milan. Thank you, he's a part of your body. Thank you, he belongs to you and therefore he belongs to us. And we bless you for this union in our Lord Jesus, the power of his Spirit that binds us into your life. Yes. And we thank you, Lord, that he's with us now to share your truth. Yes. And we ask our hearts may be ready to receive and to respond and to do the things that you're leading your church to do. Bless his family back at home, Lord. Give them great strength to continue strongly and to do your will and your purpose in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to come to the conference and also letting me to speak here. This is my second time in here, so obviously I did the good in the first. So I'm very excited, and I bring greetings from my family and from my church, the pastor family, to you all. And thank you so much for praying for us over the years and months. Just a few months ago, my little daughter, who is 4 years old now, she was three, and, you know, in Nepal, they go to school, and then they get a homework. So, and she's always excited when she gets homework. She thinks that when she has a more homework, that means teacher loved her more, you know. So as soon as she comes home and she does the homework. And one particular afternoon, she was with her another sister who is 7 years old. And she had a simply just to find out the gender, you know. So she had a list, and she was I can hear that she was saying, me, female, mommy, female, sister, female, papa, daddy, female. It was not the revelation she received. But her sister, Anisha, who is seven, she corrected her, saying, no, Papa is a boy, he's a male, and he's the odd one in the family. And you know, normally the odd one is out. So I'm out from the house now. Right now, today is the National Day of Prayer for Nepal. Since last 13 years, every year, the prayer is happening. Every day, 365, prayer is going on. And God is bringing good in our country. And we are so blessed to receive the prayer partners like you who have been praying for us. I have a 5 minute video here which tells more about our work. And it was made in the summer before we came to Revive. After that, we had another 3 months residential training where 11 people been graduated. So we have other, few more. Well, last year, we baptized 22 people, and there were a few weddings taken place. So God is doing good. So we first look at this picture, the video, and then I'll speak after that. Thank you. This is just some of the flavor we do. I'm so glad to hear that the Radnit is going to start again. we didn't know that whether we'll be doing anything when we came to the Radnit training almost 19 years ago. But God has planned for that. So now we are both very much involved in the church planting and training. And Sushma is one of the most demanded women to speak in the women's conferences in Nepal. So she has making good impact. And we get such a privilege to serve God like this. I just want to say a little bit what happened 2 weeks ago. I hope you will not feel sleepy. Sushma said on the Saturday that she wants to have a 36 hours prayer, fasting, not eating anything, because she felt that she should pray for the family protection. And it was Saturday church service. So we planted a church just 3 months ago in the training center where we were doing, and now the training is over, but the church is still going. So I went to speak in the morning session, and when I was going there, the local church, another which was the one of the oldest church in that town called Kirtipur, which is almost 20 kilometers away from where we are. So I went in the morning and he spoke in the one church which we planted recently, and then the another church. And as I was coming back, something happened. I was just driving in the main road, just 1 kilometer away from my house. I don't know whether I fell asleep or whether I got unconscious. My car just hit very badly in one tractor, reverse side of the tractor. And I could hear people were, you know, telling, "Wow, come out, come out." And I woke up, or somehow I get conscious. And when I came out and I asked, "Did I hurt anybody?" And they said, "No, no, you didn't hurt anybody, but somehow that motorbike's, you know, been saved with the family." And I was really shocked, and I didn't know whether it was a dream, whether, you know, it was real or whatever. So I feel very shaky, and I didn't know what to do. But, you know, in our part of the world, people could be very vandalized, and they could, you know, beat you, or they can damage your car badly. So I needed to escape from there. So I said, "Did anybody I hurt?" And they said, "No." "Did I hurt any cars or anything?" They said, "No, this is the tractor, but tractor is fine because this is just the iron bars." So I called Sushma saying I had a little accident. I didn't make it big because just in case she feel very sad or bad. So I took car again, another couple of 20 meters and on the side. And I called the garage person and to come, and he took the car. But, you know, I was very shaky, and when I went to home, I was not feeling very well. And I didn't tell the girls, and Sushma was going to go to Thailand, you know, the Monday. So that happened on Saturday. So when she gone, I feel some kind of pain in my body, and I could not sleep for a few days. And on Wednesday, I think, I received one email somebody sent me. "Milan, you may be encouraged to hear that we prayed for you in the prayer house." You know, and from that day, I feel totally fine. You know, my all this shakiness and all this dizziness, or even my, you know, fear just lifted up. And when I came home that day on Saturday, and Sushma said, you know, she was really praying for me, and that really, you know, somehow I've been saved. So now, if I think I was asleep, I feel it's a very scary. And if I've been unconscious, and it is even is on, you know, very scary. So the next day I went back to the same road, and I say how much I passed while I was being unconscious or fell asleep. And it was almost 70 meters. So it must have taken maybe 10, maximum 10 seconds sleep. I could be in a prison, or I could be in coma or in a coffin, but God really saved me. If that tractor was not there, I could hit in the shop where there would be many people, and that would, you know, cause quite a casualty. I thought I would never share this anywhere. You know, I can feel sense of failure and things, but this is the first time I'm telling you what exactly. And when Sushma came back and he said, "Where is the car?" And I said, "Oh, it's still in the garage." And she said, "Was it really bad?" And I said, "Yeah, a little bit, you know." And she said to me, and another, just before I came, I took the car at home, and she said, "How much does it cost?" And I said, £800. And she said, "Oh, that's your shoes money. What was the wrong?" And I said, "But I'm fine. It's okay. You know, don't worry." And I felt that God was really, you know, protecting me. If that tractor was not there, I could have killed people, or even, you know, I could have gone on and on. And there was a zebra crossing. You know, I crossed that as well, without knowing anything. So what I'm here is, I'm really alive. I thank you, God, for that. Thank you. This is how our God works, and we don't know how, you know, he did protected me, but he did. And, you know, this is sometimes I feel so thankful to God that I was coming from the church, preaching, so happy, and the enemy wanted to, you know, do something. And Sushma felt that, and when we were hearing about the fasting by Iguru pastor in the conference, and I felt that the fasting prayer is really powerful, and I just like to encourage you for that. So what you have seen here, we are going to have our first partners week in Nepal in April 24th to 30th. So if you want to come and see the work what we do, please feel free. we have been working with the children and with the schools for last, 15, 20 years. So God has been blessing us. And now we support over 100 students to go to school. And we have 15 girls in the children's home. And we have 22 toddlers in the church. And we only have from the very poor family so that the parents can go to work. And, God is really blessing us. And from this tailoring, around 40 ladies, they already been trained. And through microfinance, over 500 families, they are doing the business. And we planted 8 churches, and we could train many people. God is really at work, and we know there is even more in the days ahead. So today, I have just three verses that I want to read for you. And this is all about time, service, and faithfulness. While I was coming here, and I thought about a couple of topics, but I felt this is the one that probably need for me and for you in this year 2020. So today we are going to read one from the Old Testament, Micah 6:8, and I know many of you probably know this by heart. And another one is John 21, verse 15 to 17. So one verse from the Old Testament and three from the New Testament. It says here, from the Old Testament, Micah 6:8, what God wants from us. This is the kind of topics. Micah 6:8 says, He has showed you, O man, what is good, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And another, John chapter 1, verse 15 to 17. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. In NASB it says, Tend my sheep. In verse 16, it says, He said to him a second time, Son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. We often think about and talk about, do really God want something from us? Do real love or true love expect anything from us? And our God is just like our loving parents. Coming to the RadNet and doing with the ICTAS training, we had this revelation or understanding God as a father. In Nepal, we knew God as a judge more. He only looks for the bad people to punish. But to have a close relationship with like a father and son, that we can be like that with a God. So that's what our parents want from their children. Similarly, God also wants the same thing from us, what is good. And in the Micah, it says, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with the Lord. So these are the good things. And every parents wants the good thing from their children. And the God showed us what is good thing here. So today, I'd like to encourage you that as it is said here, we are called to act justly. There are a lot of places in the world the justice hasn't been done. People are enslaved. Ladies, especially in our parts of the world, are sold into prostitution. The children are enslaved. So there are a lot of things is happening. But God asks us to stand for them, pray for them, and help them the way we can. And that's what we are doing, even in this small level. And similarly, to love mercy, which means to be kind to others. And to be merciful to others means to be practically do something for them. help them. And Jesus also said, the Son of Man came to serve, not to be served. You know, so this is, we are called in our society to serve. And Jesus showed us that example, how we should be doing. There are a lot of god and goddesses or deities in Nepal, or the people who claim themselves as a, you know, a holy man. They often want other people to come to them for the blessing. Other people to come and serve them so that they can get moksha or, you know, salvation. But Jesus didn't say, okay, I'll sit here and you come and serve me and you'll get salvation. But he is the one who went and taught us how to serve. And the third thing, yeah, it says, walk humbly. And the humility is the treasure for the humankind, you know, human beings. So walk humbly means to be humble with the people around us. And without a humility, we cannot serve God or people. We do the job, but serving really needs that humility. And for this, all these three things, we need to give time, we need to serve, or our service, and we need to be faithful for that, which means to give our heart. So when we look at these three things, that means we all need to make a time for this. We all need to serve the way we can. And also, we need to be faithful what is our, in our calling or in our responsibility. And the second part here, Jesus, when he was talking to Peter, it was those time after the resurrection and before going to the, you know, to the Father. So Jesus was in his last days in the world. So he obviously wanted to have a very important talks with the, you know, with his disciples. So he was talking to Peter. And who is Peter? We know that Jesus saw great potentiality in him. So he says in Matthew 16, verse 18, that I will build my church in this rock. That means he was going to build the church in Peter. But Peter was one of that character who was quite up and down. And once even Jesus rebuked him, saying, get behind me, Satan. You know. And after that again, Jesus warned him that he would deny him for three times. But Peter says, you know, no, it will never happen, because he thought that he's very close to God, I mean Jesus, and he knew that he know better than other probably, you know. You know, we are sometimes like that. You know, we go to church, we read the Bible, we pray, we know the pastor or leader, and we'll be, you know, okay. But the enemy always have the trap, like when he had a trap while I was driving. So we need to be careful in our spirit. We need to be alert. So here, I mean, we know the story that he denied Jesus three times, but he didn't stop there. But he realized that he made a mistake, or he, you know, also fell on there. So he cried out so bitterly. And the repentance and the confession obviously has been made. So again, Jesus still have seen that potentiality in Peter. He didn't give up Peter. Okay, Peter, you failed this time. He didn't say that. But still, Jesus was very faithful what he said earlier, that he would build his church. What Jesus was founded in this ministry in the world, he was going to hand over to his disciples and obviously the church. He wanted Peter to continue. So probably that's why he wanted to ask again whether he's ready or not. You know, I'm not sure, but that's what I feel. That's why he asked three times this question here. You know, and first time he says, Lord, you know that I love you. And the second time he says, Lord, you know that, you know. He was taking very easily. God, Jesus knows anyway, I love him, you know. But the third time, when Peter been asked the same question, and he says, Lord, you know all things, you know. And God knows all things, what we are going through, what is in our family, whether I'm driving, because God knows everything. And Peter, that's what he's trying to say here. God, you know everything, that I love you, you know. And Jesus here, when he asked the question, the same question three times, and he also orders or commands the same thing three times. First he says, feed my lamb. So Second time, you know, he says, shepherd my sheep. And the third time, feed my sheep. So why sheep and why lamb? I heard lamb and the sheep are the most dependent animal to be directed and to be secure. You know, otherwise, they can easily go in the danger. So in those days, I think sheep would be the best to give example to the people there, like bread, you know, what they have been eating, it would be easy. So that's why Jesus probably, you know, give this lamb and the sheep. So when I was preparing this, and I felt, what is really saying? So the lamb is like a new believers in the church. And it is very, it takes lots of effort and time to feed the lamb. You know, like when we have a little child, it is our first responsibility to feed them, to look after them, and you know, it takes lots of effort. I think that's the best mission and best ministry that we ever had. So in the church, when the new people come, so our best ministry or best, you know, we can give is to feed them. And as a dad, I can guarantee that it is not easy to feed the little one. The middle one, I used to tell her lots of clever fox story. And I realized that if you tell them lots of clever fox story, they can be a very clever and they can start to act like that. I once left food to my daughters, to her, saying, can you eat this food when I'm going to have a shower and come back? And within a few minutes, when I came, and she said, yeah, I have finished food. But it was actually in the fridge, you know. And I again gave her. And the next time, similar happens, and I said, can you eat this? She was 4 years old then. And then she said, yes, I will eat it. And it was not in the fridge, but it was in the dustbin. And again, another time, she finished the food very quickly, you know. And I said, okay, I'm going to the toilet. She said, Papa, can I just go and flush the toilet first? So the little one, I don't tell very much about the clever fox story. If we just leave the, you know, little one to eat, they can eat all kinds of food. Or maybe they don't get healthy food. And, you know, for that, we need to give time to prepare food. We need to be creative, you know, make a drama. I'm sure Joe knows that. So, you know, it takes a lot of our time. We cannot say, oh, they are just a little children. We can give them the leftover, or they don't see, you know, what we are feeding them. Just make lots of sugar and give them. You know, that probably damages them. Maybe they get a diarrhea or vomit. So we need to give them the right sort of food in the right time. So leading the church is similarly, Jesus was, I think, telling Peter that you feed my lamb. And the sheep is another one, which is the other believers that we, you know, now talk about. And there are lots of food, lots of junk food, lots of attractive food in the world, lots of heretics are there. And if we don't shepherd them rightly, they can go an astray. I know some will leave still, but you know, it is our duty and it is our job or it is our heart that no one can go astray. You know, they all be saved in Jesus. And we know, you know, Jesus came to give life. He came to save us and he came to multiply what he has given us. But Satan came to steal, kill, and destroy. I think Peter, you know, when he cried after his denial, I think, you know, maybe Satan was quite happy that he denied, but he was not happy when Peter came back to the Lord. And many times, when we fall or when we made a mistake, you know, sometimes we say, oh, maybe I should not go to God. Maybe he will be angry. But we know the story in Prodigal Father. You know, father was just waiting to hug his son. His brother was more judgmental, but, you know, he was still loving. And our God is still loving. So if no matter what we are going through the life, Peter's, this story shows us that we need to be cry out to God, confess and repent, and again mend our relationship with the Father and to continue. And this is what Jesus wants us, you know, in our life today. So, as I said, you know, the loving parents or the God wants our time, our service, and our faithfulness or our hearts. And similarly, the church wants the same thing for us. It will be very inappropriate to say, like, if I say, I love my wife and children, I don't, you know, look after them, I don't care for them, and if I'm not with them all the time, then that doesn't make sense. Well, I'm now, but, you know. And similarly, if we say, okay, I love God, but I don't have a time to pray, I don't have a read the Bible, I don't have a time to spend, you know, I'm so busy. Quite a lot of time, my friend asks me in Nepal, is there anything you don't like in England? You know, because I always talk about good things, you know, we do. And I say, people, I don't say. I say, well, England is very good, nice roads and clean, and the system is good, NHS, the politics, until recently, fine, no problem. But is there anything, they said, and I said, yes, there's one thing, you know, I don't like. Well, there are quite few, but one thing is, am I allowed to say? I'll be invited. Okay. I say, people don't have time. So busy, you know. Even to meet somebody, you have to ask first and write or, you know, make a time and calendar. And I found you have a lot of things, but you don't have a time. But in the South Asia, we don't have a lot of things, but we have a plenty of time. And you long for a time, and we long for, you know, things. I don't know which one is better. And also I found one thing. We Asians are very good to show our anger. You know, we don't hold any anger inside. We just show it, you know. But for love, we don't show love again. We are not very affectionate to express. But in the West, you are very good to show love, but to keep your anger inside. I think you have an anger management course or something. So today, you know, I want to encourage you, just like Peter, we need to come back to the Lord and to give our time and to give our service and to be faithful in our calling and in our vision towards our church and towards our loved ones. You know, there are certain people, they have a job nature. If they are in the security forces, they cannot be always with their parents or with their family. But there's always they can make a, you know, call or a Skype or write and things like that. So if we say to our loved ones, we love you, but sorry, we don't have a time, I cannot do anything for you, that doesn't make sense. And similarly to the church is the same. You know, we have some people in our church. They are very committed, but once they go abroad to study or to, you know, work, they don't keep in touch unless they got trouble. And there are a lot of people in the church, you know, they send their tithe, because in Nepal we ask people to tithe regularly. You know, the giving is very important, and to offerings and things. But they send the tithe and they send the money, but they don't come to the church because they always say, you know, busy. Now, instead of their position, we want the person to come in to worship the Lord. And that's what God wants. So in this, you know, year 2020, may God help us to be more making a quality time for God and for our loved ones. I also do struggle there, this, because, you know, the three daughters, now one is nearly 16, another is 8, and another is 4. So if you go like 4, 8, 16, and when we say, okay, let's have a prayer, and it is a kind of a drama, you know. My 16 years old, well, she's 15, she says, okay, let's pray now. And the little one says, another one, can we just sing one song, you know. And another one says, can you pray first? So it will be a little bit kind of an interesting argument sometime. So I'm praying that may God help me this year to 2020 that I could make more quality time for God, for my church even, and to my loved ones. And to serve, you know, I know in England people are very serving to the church, even for the coffee or opening the doors or welcoming. You know, this is the kind that you can help. and to the people, to the loved ones. And the third one is to be faithful for our church. You know, many people, they leave church when there is a conflict happens. And there is no, I can guarantee there is no any church in the world where there is no conflict happens. And I saw many people who have a great potentiality in their, you know, giftings, and they are really working hard. But from little criticism, somebody said, they just leave. They say, okay, I'm not going to work anymore, you know. And that's what the enemy wants us. So no matter what happens in the church, and if we are faithful to the church, you know, we need to serve the church the way we can. We need to be faithful means do not love whether you get praises or persecution, kisses or kicks, or reward or rejection, whatever. You know, we need to be faithful to our God. That means giving our heart. So for the church, for our loved ones, for God, all, you know, we need to do good. And that means these three things. And may God help us to be like this. And again, the first, our mission and our job and our vision should be to feed our lambs and to feed our sheep. That means unless we, you know, help our church people here, we cannot imagine, you know, helping in Burma or Thailand or Nepal, you know. But first, our job is where we are. So may God bless us and help us. Thank you.